Good morning. Welcome to Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. You're going to hear from men staying with us about their journeys with addiction and/or homelessness, their struggles and their triumphs, and how, with the help of Neighbors of Hope, they're learning that through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here is the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning to our listening audience, and welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. Once again, I'm here with the staff and guests of our Women and Children's Ministry Center in Tecumseh, and we're super excited again. We've done this once before. Now that we have women within our organization, we can kind of now share that voice. We've done for 10 years a male-dominated voice. We're not going to eliminate that, but again, welcome, ladies, to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good. Thank you.
All right, very good. Well, prior to going on the air, it was determined that the scripture text that we wanted to reflect on today comes from Paul's writing in his short little letter to the people of Philippi. So we'll be reading from Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4, and ending through verse 9. So if I could have someone read that for us, that would be great. Thank you.
Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, ladies, anything jump out at you? Right, where would you like to launch this from? Right, what part of that spoke to you?
As someone who lives with mental illness, especially anxiety and depression, that definitely speaks out to me that I don't have to carry that load all on my own. I can present that to Jesus, and He's going to help me through that.
Mm-hmm. Good. That's good. Yes. Anyone else?
And just bouncing off of that, too. I love the promise, especially in verse 6 and 7, that when we present those concerns to God, He promises us that His peace is what's going to guard our minds. You know, that we have that assurance that when we present our anxiety, when we present our fears to Him, that we can know, have assurance that His peace is going to come over us and cover those.
Yeah.
It's helpful to think about a panic attack especially.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? Well, one of the things I hear when I, there's Paul, we think of him as our great pastoral theologian, right, of the early church, and we have to appreciate, Paul's background, highly elevated as a Pharisee within the Jewish tradition and the Jewish scripture, and his encounter of Christ and that mystical experience. When he talks about, think of all these type of things. Because really when we're thinking about those type of things, we are immersing ourselves in the reality of Christ in our midst. If you look at that list, and certainly other things could be added to that list, no one would deny that those were probably abundant in the life of Jesus. All right? So part of that, if we're going to immerse ourselves in the reality of Christ in our midst, that ought to bring us some peace. and if we think about, when Jesus departs and He says, peace be with you. I'm with you always. And this peace isn't, in the Greek it's irene, and in Hebrew it's shalom. It's not this reality of just tranquility. We don't want to reduce it to that, where I'm just right? I've meditated and I've just got an open mind and it's just, I'm at peace. No, that's part of it. But it's really, it's grounded in relationships, right? That all of our relationships are right, okay? And, you know, if we don't look, if you look at our country, I would think of somebody who's probably been on an island out in the Pacific or something, and they've been there for, I don't know, 3 years or something, and all of a sudden they come back to the United States, and what's happened? I mean, you know, we've got a culture of chaos. You know, it's like 1918, 1929, and 1968 all merged together. Right? It's rough. So how do you find right relationships in something that's so divisive? Right? And that's kind of the piece he's talking about. So it's not just an individual piece. Look, if we're abiding in all that list that he gives to us, those are relational. All right, so this idea of my relationships being right with others, my economic relationships are right? And my social relationships, my spiritual relationship, you know, all relationships are right. They're just. And, yeah, you'd have to be pretty blind to look into our world, particularly here in America, and not see that those relationships are not just. All of our relationships just aren't right now.
Hard sometimes having those toxic relationships out of our lives.
Yeah, yeah. And elsewhere, Paul says, look at there, you know, if your brother sins, you know, take him before the elders. Mm-hmm. If he refuses to repent, you know, after two times, hand him over to Satan. Now, not as a form of punishment, Paul goes on to say, you hand him over to Satan with the hopes that he will repent. All right? So sometimes, you know, our language is, you know, sometimes got to learn the hard way. Mm-hmm. But even past lessons that are bad experiences are just information. They're just information.
Like
the challenge is, what do we do with the information? Does it change us? I'm not going to do that again. You know, that hurt, or whatever it is, right? Or, you know, that worked. You know, so I'll learn from that. How do we process the information of our past experiences?
Kind of what a lot of us are learning here, because I know many of us have suffered from abusive and toxic relationships in the past,
right?
And they didn't work out, and so we found refuge in this place. But it's still hard, because how do you take that information and not repeat that mistake?
Sure. Yep. Yeah, and I'm not trying to minimize the experience. All right.
For sure.
So, yeah, that's. I'm not trying to say that. I mean, when I say it's information, that includes emotional, right? And we have the mental, and we have physical. There's, you know, information comes to us in all kinds of ways, and it is painful. But there are times, I think, when we, like what Paul's talking about, if we're going to be right with others, we have to embrace the pain in order to find the grace. Mm-hmm. Right? If I'm just going to try on my own to overcome my pain, I don't need grace. I have me, which in a sense is me becoming God. I don't need God then, right? And therefore, I'm not going to fall in alignment with what Paul speaks to us. That ought to, you know, when we're practicing what Paul's writing there in Philippians, we just developed this kind of internal reality of gratitude, right? I'm grateful my bad mistakes, my bad experiences, right? And all the information it brings hasn't cut me off from God's grace, right? That, so in my powerlessness through God's grace, I actually become powerful, right? And it's kind of the downward mobility movement. We live in a culture that, you know, climb the corporate ladder. You know, you're more successful as you go up. But if you look at the life of Jesus, he ended on a cross. I mean, his corporate success model was not very good. I mean, one would say, you know, and I jokingly, having been a a teacher, that's one of my passions, he wasn't very good at that either. Nobody really got it until after he was dead. Oh, that's what he was talking about, right? And so part of that is, you go, well, you know, you can't say that about Jesus. He, you know, he's all divine and he had all. I know. I'm not saying that's on him per se, as much as maybe, you know, what's the student doing, and was he rightly executed, and all those other things. Right? There's more people involved, right? But this downward mobility is actually, we would say, on the cross we see love and suffering collide. And somehow out of a torture and execution comes meaning and purpose. Out of that which is the least becomes the most. And that's what I mean, there's this downward mobility. You know, when we start embracing our lives, then Paul's list can be very applicable to how that transformation within our lives takes place. If that makes sense.
For sure.
Okay, I've rambled quite a bit there, ladies. I'll let somebody else jump in. We have a few more minutes.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, I think I find when I was listening to the reading, it said practice my service. And I always think practice what you preach or practice what you learn. So I think my life is easier when God is present, when you allow him in your life and working here, teaching, I don't want to say teaching, helping the women here learn to bring God into their life, because your life seems easier once you open those gates.
Mm-hmm.
When you allow God into your life and practice what he preaches, love thy neighbor, love one another, you learn to open your heart.
Mm-hmm. Well, Matthew, it says that he calls us to come to him because his burden is light. And that's really where it's at. Like, when we can come to him and we allow him to move in us, and then to be moved by that, things just become easier. Even though the hard stuff happens, like, he gives us tools to use to where it just seems like it's not as heavy anymore. Philippians 4:4-9 is full of tools to use to make the burden easier. Like, rejoicing. I can't tell you how many times I've been in a difficult mindset, or I've been stuck, or I've felt hopeless, and I turn on some worship music, and my whole perspective changes.
Yeah.
Just by engaging in rejoicing with the Lord.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because when Paul writes this little letter to the people of Philippi, he's in prison. Right? I mean, back when prison was prison, right? You gotta, mm-hmm. Not this air-conditioned stuff we got here in America, right? And what's fascinating is, so he's suffering, right? And 13 times in this little letter, he'll talk about embrace the joy, rejoice. Let's be honest. We're, you know, if you're in prison, you may go, oh, God, you know, right? I mean, self, I'm looking at self. I don't like being here. Not Paul. Not Paul, he's rejoicing and he's encouraging everybody else to rejoice. And then it begs the question, how can you be in such a place of hardship and still be full with so much joy? And there we have to define joy is not equated with happiness.
Right.
Right? Yes. Happiness is an emotional response based on happenings, circumstances, and things like that. Joy is the reality, the experience reality of hope, which is future-oriented,
mm-hmm.
being fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
It's like God is our 24-hour therapist, and that passage is coping tools that you would learn in therapy to give you that joy, you just described it.
Yeah. You know, there's that old saying, you know, faith is God can do it, hope is God will do it, and that, you know, faith plus hope equals joy.
Mm.
Right? I'm confident.
Mm-hmm.
And that confidence is precisely what brings us at peace.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Amen.
Any other closing thoughts? Well, thank you, ladies, once again. And I look forward to, we look forward to bringing forth to our listening audience more episodes for my Women and Children's Ministry Center. So, until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include our men's ministry, our women's and children's ministry center, the Blessings and More Donation Center, our Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, Woven Hope Women's Boutique, and of course, this radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Currently, we're also in the process of establishing our first Good Neighbor Center. To find out how you can become a Neighbor of Hope, visit neighborsofhope.com. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.